For 6 years, writer Kathleen Rooney has made a substantial part of her living as an artist's model. Yes, she often works nude, posing in front of painters, sculptors, or sometimes photographers. It's a job that gives her a lot of time to think. In her new book, Live Nude Girl, My Life as an Object, she undresses the philosophical and personal concerns of her unusual employment. If you've ever worked as an artist model, what goes through your mind when all eyes are on you? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Kathleen Rooney joins us now from member station WBEZ in Chicago, and it's nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
And you write about an important distinction you think about a lot between nudity and nakedness. What is the distinction?
Well, the distinction is sort of that nakedness is typically seen as a more vulnerable state, something that's not necessarily a choice, whereas nudity is almost a state of being dressed in and of itself because it's a deliberate decision.
And indeed, those are representations of two different, philosophies, the Judeo-Christian philosophy and the Greek philosophy.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, unfortunately, in America, it might seem like the Judeo-Christian philosophy on that is more prevalent, just this idea of nakedness being a source of shame. Whereas if you go back to the Greek ideal, the body is something to be sort of inhabited more proudly.
And therefore, the tradition of Greek sculpture, we don't have too many examples left of Greek painting, but of Greek sculpture, that seemed to animate so much of the Renaissance and the great paintings there. And, well, it's all folded in to Western civilization.
Yes, it is. And it's still folded into the tradition of the life drawing class. I think it's one of the spaces in contemporary life where all body types are not just wanted, but sort of appreciated.
All body types.
Yes.
And you write about some of your co-workers. There are two or three of you there for various reasons. And you obviously talk to people in your profession. And people get into this line of work for all kinds of different reasons. And, well, narcissism has got to be one of them.
I think I would hesitate to just label it narcissism because I do think that's sort of an oversimplification. But I think there is there are these competing impulses of great self-confidence and this ability to be nude in front of others, but also maybe testing the boundaries of self-esteem, whether you can actually do it or whether people are going to react to you in a pleased way or in a judgmental way.
And yet you say it's supposed to be all kinds of bodies, yet you're also being judged.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think it really depends on who's doing the art. Oftentimes, if it's just a single artist, they'll be a little more open or they will have chosen you because they already appreciate you. But there were times when I would show up to just a class of a bunch of intro to drawing students and they would say things like, oh, I'm glad you're not that fat old guy we had last week, which was, I was glad too, but I also felt bad for the old guy.
And you also write about this this idea that we have drummed into us ever since we're small children, and drummed into you too. Beauty is only skin deep. It's an adage you question.
Yeah, I think that was something that I've always questioned myself growing up. It's the kind of thing that you want to be true, but that I think unfortunately life experience teaches you isn't always the case. I think it would be nice if everyone behaved as if beauty were only skin deep, but there are certain things you can get away with for being good looking or, resentments that come from being very good looking as well.
Yet you also go beyond that to say that indeed some sort of inner beauty shines through the body. It makes it beautiful.
I think so. And I think this is something else I talk about in the book. My sister and I, she's a photographer, and mm-hmm. So we talk a lot about appearances. And it's exciting to see that somebody whose personality we like is also beautiful, but we probably find them more beautiful because we like their personality. Or when we come across someone who's maybe nasty or hateful, who we don't like, we'll say the outside matches the inside if they're also ugly. So I think there's certain judgments that we all make every day.
And yet you're the one who's standing up without any clothes on, being judged often.
Yes, it's true. But fortunately, I think I've had very few experiences where that's been a negative thing.
There is another aspect. Well, there's many aspects to this, and you write about them very interestingly. One of them is that there is this relationship that all of us have in our minds between the model and the artist, the model as muse and the artist as the tortured genius.
Yeah, and I think one of the things is that I've discovered is that's very much a myth. I think most artist models, myself included, are very hesitant to consider themselves muses. And I think one of the stereotypes of the past is that, you know, the great male artist sleeps with his female model in addition to drawing or painting her. And I think that's definitely not the case with most models these days. But that said, I think there's very much a certain kind of erotic thrill to being in a situation where one person is clothed and the other person is nude, and also the nude person is being drawn. So it's not a lover situation, and it's not exactly a friend situation, because most friends don't spend their time that way typically. But there's not really a word for it.
I wouldn't stop posing even if I wasn't rent obsessed, you write, and close to student loan collapse.
Yes, I do. But I guess the funny part is that I have now stopped posing. I have, I guess, a more traditional office day job that doesn't allow time for it. But for a while, I would say I was almost addicted to it, which is, I think, what I was referring to there.
Addicted? In what sense?
Insofar as I think, and I think this happens to a lot of people, I think some people try art modeling, and if they don't like it, they just sort of say, well, there, that was an interesting thing I've done. But the people who get into it, I think there's almost a narcotic effect or a compulsive thing. You do it once and it becomes really fulfilling, either because you like the idea of the challenge of being naked in front of others or nude, or you like using your imagination in that way to inspire people, or just because you like the people you're working with, and it sort of becomes almost a club, or the sense that you're in cahoots with someone else who shares a goal with you.
A collaborator, if not a muse.
Exactly.
All right, let's get some callers in on the conversation. We're talking with Kathleen Rooney about her past career as a live nude girl. She wrote a book by that title. My Life as an Object is the subtitle. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you've been a model, give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. We'll begin with Stephen. Stephen with us from Oakland.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I definitely agree with the last comment that your guest talking about. I would say it was among the most rewarding careers that I've ever had, personally, but also among the most physically difficult. And that's one thing that I'm not sure that she's covered in her comments.
She covers it in the book, believe me.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. I found that as a physically demanding job, it was right up there with construction, or maybe worse. Simply not being able to move introduces problems of circulation and breathing, as well as what to do with your mind during, say, 20 minutes of extended stillness.
Kathleen Rooney, you do write about this a lot and say, in fact, you suffered all of those problems, and indeed, you do spend a lot of time sitting up there thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great point to raise. I think the first time that I did it, I mentioned this in the book, I was fortunate enough to do it with another model. And she told me explicitly, any moving you want to do for the next 20 minutes, you're going to have to do in your mind. And so I think that was helpful, too. And you have to enter, if you're going to be good at it, an almost meditative, yoga-like state, just to be able to still your body but not get so bored that you fall asleep or become uncomfortable. And also, there's little tips that you pick up along the way. Don't lock your knees, you'll pass out. Don't hold your hands above your heart, or you won't be able to breathe. You'll lose your circulation. But I think it's very much a learn-as-you-go kind of job. And there were times I would hold a pose for so long and just want to please my audience, if you will, that I would actually get up from the model stand and sort of collapse on a foot that had fallen asleep or something like that.
Exactly happened to me in the past.
And
not even being aware that my legs had completely fallen asleep because I was so deep into the pose, and then going for a break and collapsing.
Yes.
The usual session, as Kathleen Rooney describes it, Stephen, is about 3 hours with breaks every 20 minutes or so. Is that your experience?
Yes, that's correct. And the best ones, for me, the most entertaining, were drawing classes where the average length of pose ranged from 60 seconds to 10 minutes. But then in a class where you have, for instance, clay modeling, you might have a class with one pose.
Well, and your phone's cutting in and out, so we're going to let you go, Stephen. But I wanted to ask Kathleen Rooney, there's one episode you write about where you're posing for a sculpture class who are making, they're all making models of you.
Yes.
There's this fleet of statues of Kathleen's that are there. And because the teacher, the sculpture teacher is very good, they're all pretty good representations of you.
Yeah, and that's in a chapter where I definitely conflate art modeling with sort of death and mortality, which sounds really morbid, but I think is one of the most fascinating aspects for me, just that, you know, sculpture can often look very much like a body or like a death mask or like you, but totally inanimate in a way that other media can't exactly. And so that was one of the most exciting times for me, even though I spent a whole semester, sometimes up to 9 hours a day, just sitting in one spot. I think my mind was the most engaged because I was thinking of this huge tradition of artists trying to sort of defeat death with their work.
And there will be representations of you, even though you've now stopped, that will long outlive you.
Yeah, and it's kind of exciting to think about some of those surviving longer than me or not, just where they'll end up and who will appreciate them, if anyone.
We're talking again with Kathleen Rooney. Her new book is The Nude Girl, Live Nude Girl, rather, My Life as an Object. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get Rock on the line. Rock with us from Payson, Arizona.
Yes, good afternoon, folks. I happen to have taken about 4 to 5 years of life drawing classes and encountered models, everything from some that looked like the Michelin tire lady to some that looked like a cat with its fur gone. They were so thin. But the ideal body form was always the easiest one to draw, whereas those at the extreme other ends were the more difficult ones. But I told your screener, I said, the reason I called in is I know the first time I had a class where we had the model, I noticed that I was married at the time. But I noticed that when the model went up on the stage and then began to disrobe, all the males, not the females, but all the males in the class put their eyes down until she was disrobed. Once she was disrobed, then they looked up. And I've been asking myself for years, because this is back in the 70s, I was asking myself for years, why did the males have trouble looking at her disrobing, but once she was disrobed, it was all right to look at her?
I think that's a fascinating question, and that was something that I was intrigued by in my modeling days. There would be times when I would pose partly clothed, which I found were much more not embarrassing but charged than just being either totally clothed or totally naked. And I think part of that is because of the suggestion of motion. And there's actually a lot of art historical precedent for that, like Duchamp's Nude Descending a Staircase. That famous painting was partly controversial because of its, you know, avant-garde leanings in terms of how it was executed, but also the fact that the nude was in motion was very scandalous. So I think maybe associations with strippers or things like that, whereas the model is supposed to be kind of almost a statue. So maybe when she's moving, it's a little more provocative or unnerving.
We have this email on the same point. And by the way, Rock, thanks very much for the phone call. This from Jim in Louisville, Kentucky. I organized a drawing group in college and had to step up to the platform when a model I scheduled didn't show up. I found it very difficult to undress. Once nude, it was really much easier. There was a vulnerability in undressing. I then understood why the models were let into a room to undress. Let's see if we can go to Eileen. Eileen with us from Eugene, Oregon.
Well, hello.
Hi.
I was a model once for the university, and I was heavily pregnant at the time, and someone had suggested I do it because the body change is so different when someone's pregnant. And my first modeling job was for a sculpture class, and I had to maintain the same pose for hours at a stretch over several days, and I found the longer I stood still, the more active the baby came. She would visibly kick me during class, and it would bulge. And a lot of they were mostly young students, or college age, and they had never seen a pregnant woman, and they certainly didn't know babies could kick, and they would all watch. And so I'd have a panel of students gathering around waiting, and they say, okay, make her do it again. I, of course, couldn't make her stop or start.
An independent actor in there, yes.
Absolutely, and it was the most physically demanding work I've ever done.
It was interesting, Kathleen Rooney, there's one point in which you're criticized by one of the artists for eating lunch and your stomach getting bigger.
Yeah, there was... I know, it happens. But during the sculpture class, I would pose for a three-hour session in the morning, and then there would be a break from 1 to 2, during which I would, of course, go have my lunch. But I'm fairly thin, and so I would come back, and my stomach would be visibly a little bit bigger. And Isabel, the sculpture instructor, sort of pointed that out, not to be mean, but just to warn the students, your measurements are going to be off. She's changed. You know, don't work on the stomach for a couple hours until it's had a chance to digest. And it was just something, it made me very self-conscious because I'd never, I never thought about that.
Eileen, thanks very much.
Great. Thank you.
And I wanted to ask you, Kathleen Rooney, you talked about death and immortality. Have you seen the bodies exhibition where cadavers are preserved in plastic and are posed?
I haven't seen that, but I've read a lot about it. I have kind of a weak stomach, so I wasn't sure I would be able to handle that. But a similar place that I've visited is the Mutter Museum in Philadelphia, where they do have a lot of these bodies, particularly bodies in that case that have been defined as quote-unquote freakish or abnormal. And I found that really touching to see these people who maybe were there not because they chose to be, just as specimens to be looked at and studied, and who, even though they necessarily didn't intend it, were sort of immortal as a result.
And would you like to be preserved that way?
That's a tough question. I guess, sure, why not? I think at that point I won't really have much of an opinion one way or the other. So if it would do somebody some good, then yeah.
Well, thanks very much. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Kathleen Rooney's book is Live Nude Girl, My Life as an Object. She joined us from WBEZ, our member station in Chicago. Tomorrow, gays and lesbians and the changing landscape of television, the last word on the L word. Join us tomorrow for that. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.